This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Munafiqun in the Surah where he addresses the hypocrites about their misgivings, about their worries about what the non-Muslims are going to say and you know, what others are going to think about us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them and he tells us, is understand that izzah, dignity, honor, self-respect, belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the true believers. But the hypocrites do not know this. The hypocrites do not understand this. Surah Al-Munafiqun, chapter 63, verse number 8. One of the primary goals of Islamic law and fundamentals of our religion that we don't speak about enough in the 21st century is the concept of izzah, of self-respect, of dignity, of honor. These, to many people, sound like medieval concepts. What do you mean by honor? What do you mean by dignity? We mean by this the way that a Muslim carries himself or herself in public and how they represent the religion. That as believers, we are supposed to be the people of the highest caliber of character and manners. That we are supposed to have a dignified presence wherever we go. And slowly, in the 21st century, and in the 20th century before this, slowly this dignity has been eroding. It's been going away, it's been disappearing. One, because we don't talk about the subject anymore, because we don't teach it to our children, and two, because of the society that we are growing up in, that we live in a community or in a world that is all about individualism. It's all about me and what I want to do and my rights and my freedom. The us is gone. The sense of community is gone. The sense of family is gone. It's all become about the person. It's all become about the ego. And in that kind of a world, there is no honor, there is no dignity, there is no self-respect because all a person cares about is their own nafs. And so we now face this dangerous situation in which everything that makes a human being dignified is being stripped away. And everything that makes a human being animalistic or vile or vulgar has become normalized. And one of the ways that we can fight this trend is to revive discussions on this topic. For us to talk about it, to teach it to our children, and to once again revive the sunnah of living a life of dignity and izzah. So why is it important? Why is it important for us to live a life of honor and dignity? Some of the early scholars of fiqh, they listed izzah under the primary goals of the Sharia. That our religion was sent to preserve our life, our religion, our families, our wealth, our intellect, and our dignity. And they give two examples of the preservation of dignity. One is that it is a major sin to slander somebody else of zina. It is a major sin, not a minor sin, to slander someone. Why? Because that directly affects the izzah, the respect and dignity of the other person. And the other example they give is the prohibition of zina itself. That when a person commits zina, that ruins their own honor and self-respect. And when you slander somebody else of it, it ruins that person's honor and self-respect. And so they say that the prohibition of these things is to protect the dignity of the human being. But why is it important? Why do we need to live lives of dignity and honor? Well, number one, we have to understand that as believers, especially as believers living in a non-Muslim land, we represent Islam everywhere we go. People around us who are not Muslim, they may never read the Quran, they may never read the Hadith or the Seerah. Their understanding of Islam and experience of Islam comes entirely from the interactions with us. And if we are undignified people, if we are people of bad character, if we are people who do things that are disastrous, that are evil, that are vulgar, then that doesn't just represent us, it represents our religion. They begin to think that this is what Islam is about, this is what Muslims are about, this is what the religion is about. So the first importance of Izzah is that we represent Islam. Linked to that, the second importance of Izzah is that it is itself a form of da'wah. For many of the early Muslims, their da'wah was not in talking about Islam. They lived Islam. It was Umar ibn al-Khattab's presence that was da'wah itself. People would look at a man like Umar radiallahu anhu and be convinced that the religion he is following is the true religion because of the way he transformed him into such an exemplary individual. That the impact of this religion on the character and manners and personality of people was enough to be a da'wah to others. And we wonder today that people may interact with us over and over again and never be attracted to Islam. Maybe we are not representing Islam properly in our character and manners. A third benefit of Izzah, of living a life of dignity and honor, is that it leads to a peaceful, functional society. A lot of the problems in society today come about because people don't have any dignity anymore. Whether it's people cheating on their spouses, whether it's the breaking of homes, whether it's the breaking of family ties, or whether it's people who are out there living vulgar lifestyles and committing every kind of indecency, if people just had a little bit of Izzah, they would not be doing these things. And if people had Izzah, not only would they not be doing these things, but they would be able to maintain a harmonious relationship with the rest of society. And when you do these things, when we commit these kind of sins, they have a ripple effect in society. That evil and vulgar sins do not just affect the individual, they affect all of society. And what we see today in the world of the rise in divorce and the decrease in happy marriages and the amount of children who don't know who their fathers are and the amount of broken homes caused by people doing things that are haram, all of this is a direct result of a life without dignity. Another important reason why we should have dignity is to preserve the unity of the ummah. That our unity comes from us being united in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are undignified in our manners, this leads, number one, to the breaking of homes. And when the homes are broken, it leads further to the breaking of the brotherhood of the Muslims. So when we live lives of honor and dignity, we are preserving our families, we are building our homes, we are building a society that is honorable and just and dignified, and we are representing Islam in our actions. But what is Izzah? How do you live a life of dignity? What are the things that you should do that make you a dignified individual, that make you a person of Izzah, a person who is honorable in the sight of Allah and in the sight of those who worship Allah, and someone who is respected by both the creation around us, believer and non-believer alike? What do you do that makes you a person of honor and dignity? It starts, number one, with our haya, with our modesty. That every Muslim, male or female, must live a life of haya, of modesty and dignity. From how we dress, to how we interact with the opposite gender, to how we carry ourselves in society, that we must represent the modesty of our religion. This is the number one part of being a dignified person, to be a modest person. Because an immodest person will never be dignified. So it starts with haya. And we have to teach our children modesty from a very young age. From how they dress, to how they talk to people, teaching them to lower their gaze, teaching them to avoid the paths that lead towards zina, teaching them not to look at websites they shouldn't be looking at. All of this must start at a young age. Haya begins at a young age. And this is where our Izzah grows from. Linked to this is our akhlaq and our adab, our character and manners. Our dignity and honor come from our character and our manners. What's the difference between character and manners? Akhlaq or character refers to what's inside of us, our internal characteristics. That in our hearts, we are humble people. In our hearts, we are sincere people. In our hearts, there is no jealousy for others. This is akhlaq. It is the state of your heart. And that state of your heart, it manifests itself in your actions. And those actions are called our adab, our manners. So someone whose heart is full of humility, their manners will be humble. Someone whose heart has no jealousy, their interactions with others will not have any jealousy in it either. So we have to work on our hearts and purify our hearts of anything that is bad akhlaq and put into our hearts that which is good akhlaq. And we have to build upon that the manners of Islam. And sometimes we forget, you know, we trivialize the manners of Islam. This is a problem today. That when we want to study or teach Islam, we talk about things like, you know, I only want to learn fiqh, or I only want to learn history. Why are we learning about, you know, shaking hands? Why are we learning about eating with the right hand? Why are we learning about saying Bismillah? But understand, these are the manners. These are the manners of the believers. And these manners, they go a very long way to building within us a dignified presence in society. That we build a culture of dignity and honor when we have a culture of good manners. And so for a believer, we need to have the best possible manners and character. We understand that this is how we do da'wah. This is how we represent our religion. And building upon the concept of manners, a core part of honor and dignity is to watch our tongues. It has become too common for Muslims to use vulgar language. Very often we'll find Muslims, even Muslims who are seemingly practicing Muslims, you know, he may be a brother with a big beard or a sister in full hijab, but they use the worst of vulgar language, the kind you don't want your children to hear. Why are these words coming out of the mouth of a believer? The same mouth from which the remembrance of Allah is supposed to come out from. We must honor our tongues and not use vulgar language. That the words we speak should always be dignified. Even when we are angry, even when we are upset, we should only allow dignified words to come out of our mouth. We should completely delete from our vocabulary any form of vulgar language. The next aspect of self-respect and honor is cleanliness. Cleanliness. That we need to be clean at all times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once saw a sahabi walking around in dirty and torn clothing. And he asked him, don't you have nice clothes to wear? And he said, yes. So he told him, go home and change. And he saw another sahabi walking and his hair was all untidy. And he asked him, don't you have a comb to comb your hair? He said, yes. He said, go home and comb your hair. Another hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about the importance of avoiding arrogance, one of the sahaba said, I like to dress well, I like to look nice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's not arrogance. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. So part of our izzah is that we dress well, we look well, we are well groomed, we are clean, we smell good, we don't go around offending other people with bad body odor. We don't go around offending other people because we are dressed shabby. Then we are dignified in our appearance. We are dignified in the way we carry ourselves in society. People look at us and we say, that is a person who is dignified and honorable. And cleanliness is a very important part of this. The next aspect of living a dignified life is that we live a life of ihsan. What does ihsan mean? Ihsan means that whatever you do, you do the absolute best job possible. That you try your best to be the absolute best in the world at what you do. If you are parenting, you aim to be the best parent possible. You are in a marriage, you aim to have the best marriage possible. If you are giving a speech, you try to give the best speech possible. You are teaching a class, you try to teach the best lesson possible. And every day, you want to be better than the day before. That the class you teach tomorrow should be better than what you did yesterday. The way you run your business tomorrow should be better than the way you did it before. That you aim to be the absolute best at everything you do. Not out of arrogance, not out of I'm better than others, but because this is what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves that for a believer, in whatever they do it with ihsan. They do it to the best of their abilities. And this is one of the reasons that the Muslims thrived in the early years. That in the golden age of Islam, the Muslims weren't just, they were the best of pious people, they were the best of hadith scholars, they were the best of fiqh scholars, but they weren't only that. They were the best of doctors, and the best of psychiatrists, and the best of mathematicians, and the best of every field, because they strived for ihsan in everything that they did. And they became the global standard by which the rest of the world judged themselves. We have to rise up and become that level of dignity in society again. And finally, the final aspect of izzah that I want to mention is that to live a dignified life, we must be responsible. We must be people who take responsibility for our life. And this is a major problem today. Many young people don't want any responsibility. They don't want responsibilities in their life. You know, there are so many young people we speak to and ask them, why don't you want to get married? I don't want the responsibility. Why don't you want to have children? I don't want the responsibility. You know, why don't you start a business? I don't want the responsibility. Being a Muslim means embracing responsibility. Allah didn't put us on this earth to just have fun. He didn't put us on this earth to fulfill our desires. We are here for a reason. Embracing the responsibilities of life is part of being a dignified believer. And we all must choose to be responsible for everything Allah has put us in charge of. Whether it is our families, whether it is our businesses, whether it is just ourselves. But everyone is responsible for something. And when you embrace that responsibility, you become more dignified in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the eyes of society. May Allah grant us all izzah, may He make us a community of respect, may He make us a people whose actions and deeds are a means of da'wah of others. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. One of the most important aspects of maintaining one's izzah and dignity in society is to get married and avoid zina. And both of these are areas where our community is starting to. Zina has become normalized for two generations now. And we have to speak against it, and we have to turn this tide and need to end this fitna. That Muslims should not even be considering such a sin, leave alone normalizing. And marriage, we've gone further and further away from the Islamic ideals of marriage. Further and further away. Think about, look at each generation and realize how far away we've gone from the Islamic ideals of marriage. That we, you know, 20 years ago, people said, oh, stop getting married young, right? And now we have people saying, oh, I'm not going to get married ever. We're moving further and further away from what Islam has prescribed for us. Amongst the Sahaba, there was three young men who wanted to be very pious. So one of them said that I'm going to pray tahajjud every night, all night. I'm never going to sleep. And another one said that I'm going to fast every day of my life. And the third one said, I'm never getting married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. He got angry. He said, I am the most pious amongst you. But I sleep and I pray. I fast sometimes, sometimes I don't fast. And I'm married to many women. So this is my sunnah. Follow my sunnah. Marriage is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the path of dignity and honor. Now when a man and woman are married to each other from a young age, and they grow together, and they grow to their potential together, and they help each other for the sake of Allah, and they grow in the direction of pleasing Allah, and they have raised children for the sake of Allah, this is a blessed and dignified union. But when people are involved with girlfriends and boyfriends and all of these other evil sins, their dignity is gone. And children born out of that face a lot more challenges in life. Because they are born through an undignified and haram process. It's not the child's fault, but it's the reality of the world, that when haram leads to something, it affects the next generation and the generation after that as well. There are repercussions for living a life of sin. There are repercussions for avoiding what Allah has prescribed and choosing what Allah has prohibited. And we need to revive the sense of honor in our communities. That when we raise our sons and daughters, we raise them to be dignified individuals. We teach them that in our religion, there is no such thing as girlfriend and boyfriend. We teach them that you get married at a young age. And yes, you know, this is another whole different topic. But a lot of times these days we have this problem that we want a youngster to get married, but we want him to already have a car and already have a house and already have a business. We want him to have the experience of a 40-year-old at the age of 20. Right? We want him to have the experience and the wealth of a 40-year-old at the age of 20. And when he can't do that, we say, oh, you can't get married. This is a very wrong way of looking at it. You see, what we are doing is, we are taking the Western standards of marriage that come after 20 years of zina, and we are applying it on the Islamic concept of marriage that comes at the beginning of a person's life. Islamically, you don't get married to settle down after you've done whatever you want to do in this world. Islamically, you don't get married only when you're financially secure. Islamically, marriage is the beginning. You get married to someone based on their potential. based on who they are going to be. That if you see a young man who is hardworking, who is pious, who has aspirations, who has goals, who knows what he wants in life, who's moving in the right direction, and you get your daughter married to him, and they grow in that right direction together, that is the best thing that you can do for them. That is the best thing that you can do for them. So when young people want to get married, we need to change the standard back to the sunnah. And the sunnah is not that they must be wealthy individuals, because understand another thing, wealth comes and goes. Wealth comes and goes. If you're only getting married to someone because they are wealthy, what happens if they go bankrupt? What happens if they lose their business? What happens if they lose their job? Life is a test. There are going to be tests. It's not all about wealth. It's about responsibility. It's about goals. It's about vision. It's about being a good person. That's what's going to make a marriage. So when young people want to get married, it shouldn't be about them being at a certain status. It should be about their potential. Who is this person growing into? And let them grow together into that type of person. Let them grow together. That is the beauty of the Islamic marriage. And we have to revive this concept. A lot of people don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear about young people getting married anymore. But this is the sunnah. This is what our religion teaches. And this is the one thing that is going to change the tide against the wave of zina that is destroying our youth. This is the one thing that's going to change it. When we go back to the sunnah of saying, yes, it's fine for a young person to get married. It's fine if your finances aren't in order yet. You know what you're doing. You're moving in the right direction. You have a plan for your life. Okay, do it together. Work together. Build it together. This is something we need to revive. Our revival of the sunnah of getting married young is directly linked to the revival of the dignity and honor and respect of our families. And we have to embrace this, and inshallah, maybe in the future we can have a longer discussion about it. I know there are many challenges involved in our community for people who want to get married young, and because we get in the way with all these challenges, they end up living lives of zina instead, and then it gets too late for them to get married. We need to change this. We need to go back to the sunnah, and we need to go back to the proper understanding of what marriage is all about. And we need to give our youth avenues of living a dignified lifestyle. We have to open the doors of dignity for them in every way that we can. We end by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our efforts and to make us from the righteous and to make us from those whose lives are pleasing to Him. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. سبحان ربي عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة.